This is Dan here with Ozark Radio News and Ozark Marketing. We're here talking with Beverly Short, who is a West Plains alumni who currently lives in Los Angeles, wrote a book, and is doing a big performance this weekend. How are you doing today, Beverly?
I'm so very well, and thank you for having me.
Nope. It's great having you in here, and big thanks to Tanya and Crockett Oaks for bringing in celebs from outside the area to talk about the things that they've got going on. Now, in association with Crockett and Tanya, you're also supposed to be doing something over at the Lincoln School, right?
Right. I've brought my one-woman show of Newlywed Widow, which is based on my best-selling book of the same name, to the Avenue Theater so it can benefit the Lincoln School project.
You're supposed to be at the Lincoln School today at 5 o'clock, was it?
5 o'clock for a book signing and a small discussion.
And then tomorrow at the Avenue Theater, when is the performance?
6 p.m.
Is there a lot of pressure that goes into being a one-woman show? I feel like that would be a lot, you know, just standing on in the light, you know, just on stage by yourself. It's got to be intense.
Well, you know, I turned 65 last year, and I had been a working actress in Los Angeles for many years. And, you know, I had a television series actually with Rock Hudson, and I was on a daytime drama with CBS. And so I have some seasoning behind me, but I stepped out for so many years and raised a family. And then when I was about to hit 65, I'm like, you know, I need to do something with this book that I've written. And I have friends in the industry still, and they're like, you should do a one-woman show. And it took a lot of convincing for me to do it, because I hadn't been on stage for so many years. And so I did the show in January in Los Angeles, and it was a fair amount of success there. And so when Crockett heard about this show, he's like, you have to bring it to West Plains. You have to. You're from here. You have to bring it. And so I said, yeah, of course I'll bring it, but only if we have a way to benefit the Lincoln School project. So it was a really good marriage of sorts, I thought. And though I may not be the person who you would likely put with the Lincoln School project, what you would learn from reading my book is that I grew up in all different parts of this country, but I grew up in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and in southern Georgia during the 60s. During the civil rights movement. And I saw a lot of change. And I think it is a really good marriage with the segregation interest with the Lincoln School project and integration and how slow it was to come about. But as I've understood in West Plains, it actually was a pretty immediate change, which was not reflective of the Deep South where I was. So I'm really happy to be here. I'm happy to bring the show. And as far as being a little intimidating to be on stage by yourself, a lovely gentleman who owned the theater in Los Angeles where I did my show gave me such words of encouragement, which were, just tell your story. And that applies to anybody. You know, just tell your story and just be true to yourself. So that's what I'm doing Saturday night, 6 p.m.
So that's probably the best way to, I guess, get rid of those inhibitions is to just realize that it's you're not having to pretend to be something else. This is just your story.
It's my story. It takes a lot of courage, though, to really tell your story.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about your book for a little bit, too, Newlywed Widow. When did you start writing this, and what is it about?
Well, there's a long story, a long answer to that question, and a short answer. So the short answer, it took me about a year and a half to write it. It was released in 2012. Through Balboa Press, which is connected to Hay House Publishing, which is one of the top publishers of Bibles in the world, actually. And it is released on 25,000 retail sites around the world. It was a number one seller for 8 weeks when it first was released. I am a self-published author, which is another point that people are so confused about. How did you do that? And I was very fortunate because I was walked through the process by Balboa Press. But the long answer to that, that was a short answer. I started writing it when I was 10, as I had a very difficult childhood. And I know it's not unique to me, but writing was my therapy growing up. And I literally took one of the pages from my journal as a kid and put it in this book, word for word. So, yeah, took me about 45 years to write the book, really.
So what do you think might be the most difficult part of writing the book itself?
Yeah, there were moments when I was writing this book and I would stop and go, really, do I have to put that in there? seriously? Because it's revealing. It's an honest portrayal of a child who was raised with neglect and abuse, and but also with a reckoning of understanding what life really can be about if you just use your positive perspective towards what's going on instead of going down a negative rabbit hole. My perspective was assisted by being able to see what was coming in that, and it took me many years to own up to this, but in that I have a clairvoyant ability. And that came true when I was 6 years old and I looked into a mirror for solace after trying to run away from home at 6 years old. And instead of seeing myself, I saw an old lady looking back at me. And the old lady showed me everything I needed to know to get through my life. And she showed me what was coming and how I was going to handle it and who my friends were going to be and who my foes were going to be. And those one of those things was that I would be a very young widow. And here I am, 6 years old, knowing that I was going to be a widow when I grew up. And I married at age 19 in Kansas City, Missouri, to a lovely musician who passed away on our 11th month anniversary from acute leukemia. And so I knew that I needed to pay attention to that, and it really was a fact about me that I could do that. But what is the difference between what I can do and a lovely God-given ability that I have, and any child who's going through any kind of difficult situation, in their ability to imagine their future? And if you can picture your future different from what you're going through, what's the difference between somebody who has psychic abilities and somebody who can create their future through their imagination? And that's the message I like to bring to the stage.
I think that's actually a really interesting concept, too. Speaking outside of you know, any type of what anybody would call pseudoscience or whatever, people oftentimes tend to look at these types of things as though it's just, you know, hokey science or something like that. But the thing is that there's also something to be said of the fact that having that precognition is sometimes literally just the willpower to make that your future.
Yes.
Would you say that's right?
Yes, I agree. Because your brain doesn't know the difference. Your body doesn't know the difference. And if you can imagine yourself in a different state of mind, that state of mind tells all of the cells in your body how to behave. That happens with health. It happens with social attitudes. It happens with anything that your mind has control over. And truly, we do have control over how we react to what's going on. We may not have control over what's coming at us, but we have control over how we react to it.
That actually really reminds me of a book that I remember reading once by Viktor Frankl, who survived the Holocaust back in World War II. And he said much the same thing, in that you don't really have a lot of control over your environment, but you do always have an unalienable right to react to things in a way that you choose.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that the stage piece is mainly focused on this concept within the book?
Yes, I think that's a really good way to summarize it. It has a lot to do with perspective and having control over your perspective. And don't go through life being angry. Forgive and allow and get to a place before you even have to forgive. Don't take offense in the first place. No matter what's coming at you, just, you know, bless it, move on.
So in a lot of ways, the best defense is to not even take the hit, just let it slide off.
Right.
Like quote, rain off a duck's back or whatever.
Right. Just know that everybody's doing the best they can do, you know? We make mistakes. Everybody does.
Looking at this from a different perspective here, we hit some, I think, some heavier topics. Let's look at this from another lens as well. Are you kind of excited to be back in a local theater in a place that you grew up at?
I feel so welcome back here. You know, I got in town a couple of days ago and, you know, walked around the square and talked to a couple of people in the square who were like, oh, I read the article in the West Plains Daily Quill about you. We're so happy to have you here. And it's, you know, I often talk about West Plains living in Los Angeles because it's quite a different experience.
Some culture shock probably going back and forth.
A little bit. But it's, you know, it's a great thing and it's a great place to be from. And though I only lived here the last 2 years of my high school years, you know, I was so welcomed when I came to West Plains. I'd come from a town outside of Kansas City where I'd had a really rough time, some really severe bullying, which also I talk about on stage. And when I came to West Plains, and from the very first day I was here, Roy Hathcock, who was the art teacher here in the high school during those days, took my photograph, and it was a full-page photograph in the yearbook.
Hmm.
It was my very first day in West Plains High School, and you know, from that point on, it was just a love fest. I mean, it was being a zizzer is just such a cool thing. It's a completely unique, moniker, and I just love being here. And it's a great environment.
Part of your history you can't really be out of.
I wouldn't want to be. You know. It's like, what's a zizzer? Well, let me tell you. Nobody really knows.
You know, this does kind of make me think about the fact that West Plains has sort of gotten some level of national notoriety for that as well. I remember that being an answer on I think it was Jeopardy.
That's right. It was. Yeah.
Well, Beverly, I'd love to continue talking with you about this topic, but we'd better start wrapping this up for everybody listening out there. Thanks, everybody, for listening in for right now. Beverly, thanks for coming in and talking with us. Would you like to do any shout-outs before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout-out to Crockett and Tanya Oaks for bringing me to West Plains and making me feel so welcome. And I look forward to seeing everybody Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And also, we're going to have a little dinner after the show at Dev's on the Square. So if you do come to the show and keep your playbill, because it's going to give you a little special discount at Dev's for dinner afterwards, I'll be there. I will shake everybody's hand. I won't leave till everybody has said hello. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for talking with us, Bev. Show up tomorrow, once again, at the Avenue Theater to check out her show at 6 o'clock, or you can see her today over at the Lincoln School at 5 p.m.